We're going to start this morning with some praise songs in your little silver praise books, if you'll turn to page 8, and we'll sing it through twice.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name.
He has done great things, He has done great things. He has done great things, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name.
Page 27, I sing praises.
I sing praises to your name, O Lord. Praises to your name, O Lord. For your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, O Lord. Praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I give glory to your name, O Lord, glory to your name, O Lord. For your name is great and greatly to be praised. I give glory to your name, O Lord, glory to your name, O Lord. For your name is great and greatly to be
Page 14, how majestic is your name?
Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. O Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. O Lord, we praise your name. O Lord, we magnify your name, Prince of Peace, Mighty God. O Lord, our God Almighty. Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. O Lord, we praise your name, O Lord. magnify your name, Prince of Peace, mighty God, O Lord God Almighty.
Page 242, we have come into his house.
We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ the Lord. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify the Lord and worship him. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify the Lord and worship him. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify the Lord and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to everyone, and welcome to especially our visitors that we might have today. Glad that you're here. Hope you come back and join us in our fellowship with one another. If you are a visitor and Barbara hasn't and Ann hasn't found you, be sure to let her know. And they have a gift for you, like I said, be sure to let them know so that they can give you that gift. Speaking of letting each other know who everybody is, you have a burgundy notepad on the end. Be sure to sign it, pass it down, and then look at who else has signed it on your pew. And if you don't recognize somebody, be sure to greet them sometime during the day, during the worship service or afterwards, and let them know who you are. Okay. Let's see. And we have our blue request cards for prayers, for prayers of thanksgiving or celebration or intercession for people. So be sure to fill those out and hand them to an usher during our first hymn. And then other announcements that are in the bulletin insert. First of all, I wanted to announce to my Crossways class that I'm not going to be here Thursday, so we're not going to have class on Thursday, unless somebody wants to teach it for me. So, Bob and Connie, no takers there? Okay, so we're not going to have class on Thursday. We are going to have a Valentine's Day dinner coming up here on the, what day is that? February 11th. So, we'll need a count of who is coming, so who do they tell? Carl. No, sign-up sheets are in the back of the church. and see Carl for more information, though. Carl, are you here? I seen you. There he is, clear up in the balcony. So look behind you, and there's Carl in the bolo, and he is waving his hands, and say hi to him, and let him know you're coming, too.
And Bruce, Glenn has the sign-up sheet.
Oh, and Glenn, back there in the back, he's holding up the sign-up sheet. You can sign up there. Okay, also, VBS is coming. We had over 112 kids last year, and so if you'd like to help, we need more volunteers, and we're having a this Sunday at 3 o'clock at the Baptist Church. They're having a meeting, so if you'd like to help out, show up at the Baptist Church at 3. Any other announcements that I have forgotten? Yes, Pastor Judy.
It's tradition in several places of the world at this time of year, in the throes of deep, cold winter, that a bunch of crazies go to the nearest local body of water and en masse run and jump in the lake or the ocean or whatever. Apparently this coming week there's a bunch of them who are going to do it in New Jersey. Well, some of them run and completely submerge themselves in the water, but a lot of others run up to the edge of the water and dabble their toes in it and turn around and run back. Now, I think it's probably a pretty good test of who's the smartest, right? Well, I was thinking about that this morning, and I was thinking about worship. And the analogy is, how often do we run and jump in the water and completely submerge ourselves in worship and just really give our hearts to God, thanking God for all the goodness and the mercy that we have experienced in our lives? Or do we come and dabble our toes in the water and go through the same old routine, just do the motions and satisfy ourselves like, check, I was in church Sunday? So today the challenge is, will you just throw yourselves into the worship? I'd like to hear you blow Judy's mind when you start singing, okay? Can we all do that today? Let's just blow her mind when we sing those hymns. But we'll do it because we're singing them to God. Would you just be grateful with me and the goodness in our lives and all the ways that God has been merciful to us? In the name of Jesus, let's worship God.
Thank you.
Our opening hymn is found on page 77. Please stand as we sing together, How Great Thou Art.
Continuing in our bulletin with the opening words, if you'll please read the boldface. Come and praise God in the company of God, of the God's people. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Great are the works of God, full of glory and majesty. Our God is gracious and compassionate. Our God is merciful and forgiving. Our God is faithful and trustworthy. Our God is just and good. So come, let's worship God together. God's praise will last forever.
Please. T-shirt in your Faith We Sing books to 2149, Living for Jesus. We'll sing verses 1 and 4.
All right, we'll pray the prayer of confession in silence. Amen.
Now we'd like to invite the children to come for children's time. And I'd like to encourage all the adults to be sure to thank our acolytes when you see them after church. It's great to have them being in service to God.
Good morning. How many of you have ever heard of an old game called Rock Band? What do you want with us, Jesus? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. You know what Jesus said? Be quiet. He just spoke right back to that mean old evil spirit. Then he told the evil spirit to come out of that man. And you know what the evil spirit did? He came out. He obeyed Jesus. Jesus was very, very strong. Jesus teaches us how to be strong in good ways, not in bad ways. All the people looked at one another and asked, what is this? He gives orders to evil spirits, and they answered him, and they mind. Jesus showed that he had the power over evil. He showed us that he's stronger than our very worst enemy. But the best thing about Jesus is that he never uses his strength to hurt people like he would if he had to slap somebody on the wrist. So we need to follow Jesus' example. We need to be very strong, but strong in a good way and not to hurt people. Let us pray. Dear Father, help us to show Jesus love as he showed you love. Help us to follow his example and use our strength to help others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
During our offering this morning, the Bell Choir is going to play, so you'll enjoy that. Will the ushers please come to receive the morning offering? Let us pray. Holy God, it's really awesome that we can give to you. It's really awesome that we aren't without resources. Thank you for the many ways you bless us and just give and give and give to us. And now we give you back a token of our love and just want you to know how much we appreciate you, bless you, and love you. In the name of Jesus, amen. sing Praise God From Whom All Blessings Flow a cappella. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated.
Hey, please stand as you are able and turn to the back of your red hymnal to page 883 as we continue with our affirmation of faith. And what it is that we believe. We are not alone.
We live in God's world.
We believe in God,
who has created and is creating,
who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new,
who works in us and others by the Spirit.
We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence,
to love and serve others.
To seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
You may be seated. We have a nice stack of sharing this morning. I love it. The first one that I'll share with you is we are about to have a new member, Susan Poe, but she is in Tulsa taking care of her mother right now, who's going to have surgery this week on her foot. And so we will be praying for Jackie Poe and pray for her healing mercies. And Susan also asks for prayers for Jackie's caretaker. That would be Susan, okay? All right, so Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Susan's going to be joining the church in the next couple of weeks whenever she finishes her time with her mom. This is a prayer request from Carl and Marilyn Herrig, and they ask for prayers for their children and also that Butch is kind of in a slump right now. So for the entire Herrig family, healing mercies and strength for Carl and Marilyn as they hover over their sweet family. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Karen Underwood asked for prayers for 13-year-old Jensen, who needs prayer. He is recovering from a brain tumor surgery, 13 years old. So for Jensen, we pray, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Now, this is from the Apodaca family. That's the family of all the acolytes. Yay, Apodacas. And this is from Kendra. She says, that's the mama who's pushing the little black cart. We are so thankful, Kendra says, for all the support we have received from our church family. Thank you for the blessings of meals, help, and friendship. You have all made my healing easier. Much love, and much love back to you, and for God's healing mercy and hovering over your family. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Donald Richens has a prayer of gratitude. He says, thanks to all who helped me keep my mother in her home. And I'm sure Mama says, thank you that I get to be in my home too. And we're glad you're here and we're glad you're in your home. May God bless you all as you work through all of those details together. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Phil and Lisa Miller share that Lisa's 88-year-old daddy in Houston came through bladder surgery wonderfully yesterday, or Friday? Yeah, Friday. And she says, praise the Lord. And we all join her in saying, praise the Lord. And she also is humbly aware of all who are fighting cancer and asks that we pray for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Jane Sutherland is sharing with us that Paula Merrill's daughter-in-law, Meredith, is going to have a baby times two today. There is a 3 o'clock C-section scheduled. So for Paula's daughter, Meredith, for Paula and the whole family, as they await and celebrate the birth of the twins, we all say praise the Lord and God be in that OR with the birth of those babies. Let us pray. Holy God, thank you that this is a church who cares. Thank you for all of these that have been named, and thank you for the hearts who care enough to share. This kind of sharing brings us closer together, Lord, and I just ask you to continue to bind us close to you and to each other. Lord, I know that as we journey on our own individual spiritual journeys and get closer and closer to you, we get closer and closer to each other. Lord, multiply that closeness in this church so that people on the outside are like awed by the love that we have and that they are attracted to be part of this fellowship. Holy God, we also are mindful of the craziness in the world, and we pray for your peace. We pray for your mercy. We pray for Christians everywhere that somehow we make decisions in the minutia of our daily lives that contribute to peace for all. And now, God, we're going to rest the concerns of our own hearts, our own terrors, our own anxieties, our own worries, and our own praises on these words, as together as your people we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and give us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would you turn to the prayer for illumination? And together let us pray. Unstop our ears, O God, that we may hear your word proclaimed this day. Open our minds and hearts to be changed. Free us from the unclean spirits of worry, fear, destruction, and pride. Teach us, Lord, that we may follow you more faithfully. Amen. Now, the Holy Spirit was a little bit busy this week and decided that y'all didn't need to hear about junior high and Jesus. So instead, you're going to hear about Don't Give Up. Now, I'm going to give you the page number that scripture is found on. It's on 1628 in your pew Bibles. Don't give up. Anybody ever felt like giving up? Yeah, we all have. Listen to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, beginning with verse 1. Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. I think this guy was probably a royal scoundrel. He neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll grant her justice so that she may not wear me out
by continually coming. The Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. Will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I think that last phrase is very poignant. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is Jesus experiencing us giving up too soon. Why don't my prayers get answered? Do you dare ask that question? I'll ask it for you. My faith gets shaky when I hear Jesus making a wide sweeping promise such as he did in John chapter 16. "Truly, truly, I say to you." Now, that's Jesus saying, "I really, really mean this." And he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask anything from the Father," emphasis anything, "he will give it to you in my name." Well, Jesus said it. It must be true. Then why don't my prayers get answered? Today's gospel focuses on just one tiny little piece of the answer to that question. This gospel talks about persistence, about sticking to it, about not giving up. When my children were little, you all, I'm sure, experienced the same thing. They're constantly asking you for something. Oh my goodness, they gotta have the latest whatever. The latest Barbie doll. The latest remote-controlled truck. Yes, my girls had remote-controlled trucks. The latest whatever. Because everybody has it, or it's the latest thing they saw on TV or whatever. Well, I learned very quickly that I needed to put them off and put them off and put them off, because the longer I put them off was a way of me discovering just how badly they really wanted that particular item. Or was this just the latest whim that only lasted 30 seconds? Well, Deborah said one day, "Mommy, it's my turn to pick out the pet." Okay, and she was right, because Janelle, the oldest, was pretty forceful about getting her way, and I realized that, yes, it was Deborah's turn. And I said, "Okay, Deborah, what is it that you would like?" And she says, "I want a poodle." I said, "A poodle? Deborah, those are sissy dogs." We lived on the farm, y'all. She wanted a poodle. We had cuckleburrs and goat heads, and she wanted a poodle. "Why do you want a poodle?" "I want a poodle because it'll do tricks and it'll sleep with me." Well, I put her off and I put her off. I put her off for a year. And she still persistently and consistently asked for a poodle. Deborah got her poodle. And it turned out it was one of the best things that happened to our family. It was a sweet little dog and it was not a sissy. But persistence paid off for Deborah. Let's revisit the story in Luke chapter 18. There was a judge. Jesus called him unrighteous and said he neither feared God nor regarded man. Since there was only one judge here, it was likely a Roman magistrate, one of those who probably was looking for a bribe or who would bend under pressure from certain influential people. The Jewish people called these judges robber judges. Then there's the widow in the story. The law of Moses dealt more kindly with widows than the laws of the nations around Israel, but still there was no legal provision for her care, except that it was up to her family to take care of her. especially the eldest son. And if you've read some of the inheritance laws in the Hebrew scriptures, the eldest son always got a bigger cut than any of the other kids did. Well, the reason he got a bigger cut of the family estate was he was supposed to use that extra to help take care of Mama should she become widowed. But if he didn't do his duty, and there are stories about kids who didn't do their duty for their mother, but if he didn't do the duty, the widow had nowhere else to go. And this is one of the reasons why so many women became women of the night, so to speak, the only way to support themselves and their children. You see, there was no monthly Social Security check. The widow was without any resources at all. We may see this woman, this widow, as the symbol of all who are poor and without resources, who are defenseless or unfamiliar with the machinations of the legal system, or who don't have money for a good attorney. This widow had no one to stand up for her before that judge, and the judge was looking for a bribe. Defenseless, except for her one weapon, persistence. She could show up every day. She could follow him in the marketplace. She could be someone he remembered. For a while, the judge refuses her pleading, but she kept coming, and she finally wore him out. He said to himself in verses 4 and 5, "Though I neither fear God nor respect humans, yet because this woman bothers me, I'll vindicate her. She will wear me out by her continual coming." Since Luke says that Jesus told this parable to the effect that we ought always, always to pray and not lose heart, then I wonder, why doesn't this or that prayer get answered? Today's text challenges us to ask, do I give up praying too soon? Do I give up praying too soon? Luke records another parable with the same encouragement to persist. It comes in chapter 11 when we read that Jesus told a friend who came to his friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. Now, what happened is the friend had some unexpected company come in late at night. Now, in that time, there were no Holiday Inns or what you call it, somebody or other six, Hotel Six. You went to somebody's house, and it was a serious breach if you didn't offer them full hospitality. So all of a sudden he's got house guests and there's no food in the house. So what does he do? He goes out the door and down the street to his good buddy's house. And he pounds on the door. And he says, "I need some bread. I need 3 loaves of bread." And his friend says, "Don't bother me. The door is now shut and the children are with me in bed." He had good reason to protest. Let me describe his problem. He was not in a sprawling 3-bedroom ranch-style house. He was in a 1-room hut that had one end where the floor was a little bit higher than the other end. You could call it a split-level hut. The lower end was the winter shelter for the ox and the donkey and the geese and the dogs. You could call them the organic heaters, since hot air rises. The upper floor was where the family cooked and ate and slept. At nighttime, they would unroll their little mats. They're probably made of some kind of straw material, rushes or whatever, and lie down with their clothes on, their daily clothes. And often the household would also consist of several generations, including the widowed female relatives. I can understand that the man inside had plenty reason to say, "Don't bother me. The floor is covered with bodies, and I really don't want to wake up the chickens or any of the other animals. I can't get up to get you a thing. But the man outside wouldn't quit. He just persistently kept nagging his friend. Jesus said, I tell you, though he will not get up and give his friend anything to his friend, yet because of his persistent nagging, the word actually was another big old word. You probably don't know what it means, but it means persistent nagging. Because of his friend's persistent nagging, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. Now, if the neighbor who was aroused at midnight and the judge who described himself as not giving a fig about God or human beings, if these people would eventually give in to persistent petitioners, won't God be all the more likely to do the same for us, whom God loves, whom God knitted together in our mother's womb, who God made in his own image, who God loves so much that he was willing to sacrifice his own son? God never hears our pleadings as a nuisance. I believe hearing from us is pure joy to God, in the same way it is for any of us to hear from someone that we love, from our child, our grandchild, a lover, a good friend. God wants to hear from us. After this parable of the neighbor pounding on the door, Jesus says, keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Keep on knocking, and it will be open to you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. In Matthew chapter 15, there's another story of how to hang on, how to keep on asking, how to keep on seeking, how to keep on knocking. It too is about a woman. That in itself is a huge strike against her. Even today, in more conservative parts of the Middle East, a woman cannot approach a man in public. She was from the distant town of Tyre and Sidon, now part of what you and I know of as Lebanon. She was an outsider. She was a foreigner. On top of that, she was a Canaanite of the race that occupied Palestine when Joshua crossed the Jordan River, bringing the nation of Israel into the promised land. She represented mortal enemies of Israel. And like the widow in today's parable in Luke, she had nothing going for her. Except what? Persistence. She was pleading for Jesus to heal her daughter. She said her daughter had a demon. I suspect because she was out by herself pleading on behalf of her daughter, she was also a widow or one without a husband. So she was having to do the desperate work of one who was disempowered by the culture of the day. And she dared to go to the man Jesus and ask to have her daughter healed. Because of some of the responses that Jesus did give her, I think she must have felt that Jesus wasn't really listening to her, that he was ignoring her. So this Canaanite woman kept on asking, kept on seeking, kept on knocking. And the disciples grew so sick of her, said, get rid of this pest, Jesus. But she kept on asking. She came up and knelt down before Jesus and begged him, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Then her persistence pays off. Jesus exclaimed, oh, woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. The gospel writer reports that her daughter was healed instantly. do we give up praying too soon? There are some striking pictures in the Old Testament about hanging in there in prayer. There's Jacob, who had run away, and he was on his way back home. He had run away because he had cheated his brother Esau out of his birthright, coming home after many years in another land, and bothered by his guilty conscience. The scripture says that he wrestled with God all night long, hanging on to God, refusing to let go, and saying, "I won't let go unless you bless me." Woo! Seems audacious, but it got him what he wanted. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, dear Hannah is described as going to the house of the Lord year after year. And if you read that chapter, it uses that phrase year after year more than once to communicate to us that it had been a long, long time. And Hannah was persistent. Yet in verse 20 it says, "In due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, 'I have asked him of the Lord.'" There have been times when you might have grown weary. I know I've grown weary in praying for certain things. Especially when we start thinking about how long I've been praying this prayer. How long I've been knocking on the door. And it's tempting to quit. It's also tempting to quit when we mirror our perceived needs up against the needs of others. Like maybe there's a particular job somebody really, really, really wants, and you want to pray and ask God for it, and then you realize, oh, she and he, and they're all praying for the same job. Should I just give up? How about the money I think I need? Think of all the people in those developing nations who live on less than $100 a year. And I think about how I'm blessed compared to them. I'm so well off. Do I quit praying? So we get tired and we get discouraged and we give up. No wonder Jesus remarked, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith anywhere in the earth?" Do we give up? Are we faith-filled, persistent people? That's why we need Christian fellowship. That's why we need to be here when the people of God gather. We need each other to stand by us, to hold us up in their own hearts when we just can't. That's why we need a company of believers to encourage us, sometimes to correct us, but always to carry us when we tire. We need the community to encourage us as well, as they give us a broader perspective, share things with us that we hadn't even thought of, share their own experience, and help us put things in a different perspective. It helps us when our faith is shaky. We also need the company of believers to remind us of God's promises and the mystery of God's plans. Do we give up praying too soon? Lack of persistence isn't the only reason our prayers don't seem to be answered, yet. But persistence in prayer is the theme of our lesson today. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Remember what Jesus said. He told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. Jesus ended his telling with these words, "And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them." So don't give up. Be persistent. Be that annoying, squeaky wheel. Be that shrill, demanding voice. Stay at it. Show God that you mean business. Show God that you're going to remain faithfully in God's presence. Do not give up. In the name of Jesus, who promises, "I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." Amen. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus." Good one. Following that sermon, turn to number 462 and let's stand and sing.
"'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus and to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise and to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, and in simple faith to plunge me 'neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and to know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Got a little bit of a challenge for you. Think about something that you've been praying for a long time. Whoops, tears are starting to come. Okay, think about something that you've been praying for a long time. Now, sometimes we need each other to help us be persistent in prayer. So I'm going to ask you to seriously and honestly
consider, is there someone in this fellowship that you can share that long-held prayer with? Now, that sharing will deepen our relationships. That sharing will help you because you can tap into their energies and their ability to intercede on your behalf. But it'll make us all stronger together if we can get past that place in many churches that's simply smiling masks. How are you doing? Oh, fine. So how about, how you doing? I'm having a hard time with one of my prayers. Would you help me? Now, I know that's a big thing for me to ask, but I want you to do it. And I want you to know, too, that those who God calls, God makes able. Okay? So, go in the peace of God, knowing that God is always with you, that God cherishes your prayers, and that God is listening. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Okay, now you can go. Thank you.
Go now in peace, go now in peace. May the love of God surround you everywhere, everywhere you may go. Go now in peace, go now in peace. May the love of God surround you everywhere, everywhere you may go. Thank you.